Welcome to the long-awaited finale of Act It Season 3. Maybe not long-awaited, except for, like, by two people, but I'm so glad it's finally over. Anyway, I can't find Zelena. Chekaji's playing with puppets. So, tonight, it's me, Ambi Lee, and Reed to me. Both of Ambi and Reed have had theater experience as well as myself. And Ambi is a big name, so we have some, like, star power. Yeah. Not as big as me, but, like, one day, Ambi. One day. Tonight, the contestants are doing one dramatic monologue, one comedic monologue. Dramatic monologues go first, then comedic, and first up tonight, well, the contestants tonight, Gavrok, Fevenor, Rygai, who won last year, Faded Phantom, and Rochelle Euler. Bogus Bryce and Apotheria did not submit. I don't blame them at this point. I don't blame you guys. Okay, Gavrok Fevenor with his dramatic monologue up first.
I'm not a violent person. I'm really not. Never one to solve a problem with my fist. Never one to harbor any desire at all to hurt anybody. Not me. Even to those who did me injustice, and there were a few. Everyone has these people, after all. And every man suspects himself of one of the few cardinal virtues, and this is mine. I don't do vengeance. I don't hurt people. I don't hurt people! So why am I staring down at you, lying in a pool of your own blood? It's not my fault you were the perfect girl. You were beautiful, kind, and caring, and funny. It's not my fault you were the girl of my dreams. It's not my fault you were everything that I wanted. And it's not my fault that you weren't interested in me. It's yours. You did this. You did this. You marched into my life, an angel, my salvation. You were everything that I wanted. You led me on, again and again, always flirting and laughing that cutesy laugh that melted my soul, always smiling that lovely smile that lit up the universe. Always, always just you. Perfect in every sense of the word. But did you even think for one second, for one moment, did you even think of having feelings for me? No, never. Lord forbid. Feelings for me? For little old me? No. So when I finally have the courage to ask you out, after all the time you spent leading me on, making me think that you thought I was worth it. When I finally had that courage, when I finally walked up to you and said, let's go out for coffee, let's have a nice day, I like you. You turned me down in seconds. So don't you blame me for what I just did to you. You deserved this. You deserved this. You deserved this! Oh, and what are you all staring at? Haven't you ever seen justice being served before? She brought this on herself. She brought this on herself! I'm not a violent person. I'm not a violent person! I'm not a violent person. I'm not a violent person. I'm not a violent person.
Alright, keeping with the tradition of Act It's judges changing, I have two judges who have not been on Act It at all. Ambi Lee and Reed to Me. Hello, guys.
Hello.
Hello.
That was Reed to Me first, Ambi second.
Clear your throat.
Wait, I have. I, yeah.
I have a Dylan, I have a I think I need to say something before we go on.
Okay.
Gav, you're on Conquer Your Voice, and I'm officially scared of you now.
Maybe he'll do a lot better then.
You'll do a lot better now.
And Read to Me is doing an Ike Turner song this week for Can You Duet. So This was very Ike Turner, this monologue, towards the end. It took a turn.
Inspiration. Like, you should play this before you start recording. Like, that's okay, right. Get in the zone.
Get in the character.
Kill somebody. Yeah.
Okay, so... it was nice to hear your actual accent, because your American accent is super legit, but it was cool to hear your, like, actual accent. Unless this was some, like, hybrid Australian East meets West thing, I don't know. It sounded like a normal accent.
Was it British?
He's Australian, so I assumed he was doing Australian. Maybe he was doing British.
He's Australish.
He is.
He's Australish.
I like the level, like, it took a turn in the middle, like, it changed up, and I really like that. It's going to be a good night tonight.
Yeah, definitely.
Not that I'm biased, but I always sort of thought you'd win act at Gavarok, so no pressure. Don't drop the ball on the comedic monologue. What'd you think, Ambie?
I thought it was great. There were just so many levels, and I really believed him. Like, at one point when he was like, "Why are you all looking at me?" I actually wrote in the notes, "I'm not staring at anything." It was like, "What are you staring at?" I was like, "I'm not staring at anything. Whoa, back up, man. Back up." So I really believed the emotion that he had going on with it. I really thought that he was completely crazy.
He is.
But yeah. I also loved how he was not only this rage, but you could also hear the sadness with the rage as well over having to kill this girl or whoever she was.
Yeah.
Well, she looked at him.
No, it was everyone else that was looking at him because he killed her.
Oh, right.
That tends to happen when you murder somebody in public.
Yeah, that does. That happened yesterday with me.
If my dog,
stop looking at me.
If my dog would just stop telling me to kill hookers, then I would be fine. But some people think. What did you think, Reed?
I liked in the beginning how you stayed quiet. In fact, I started to write who you're talking to, and then I realized the build was going there, and I liked it. And I liked how at first I thought the whole thing about not my fault should have sounded more desperate, but then I realized there were more of them coming, and you were building up your levels. And I liked that. Got a little weird around 135 with the always smiling thing, and I kind of thought that I tried to go back and listen to the perfect at 150 was a little bit over the top, like the emotion had sort of pushed a little too far. And then I have a note, and I'm going to quote Dylan from Sing It.
Oh,
I hate your mic.
Yeah, it got toppy when you were, like, screaming. Yeah,
not.
I was getting scared.
But I look past that. I totally look past that, but with that mic.
Reed and I have Yetis, so we can be mic snobs now.
That's right. Yeah,
that's right.
I'm still on a really crappy headset. Oops.
The part where you shouted no started to almost sound a little comical, though. I mean, I actually really agree with Ambie. I liked all the levels, but there were some times when I felt that you were fishing for so many different levels that you just slipped into comedic stuff. But then around 225, it was a beautiful moment where it was, like, really intense, and then all of a sudden it was super quiet, which is like you just sort of shrunk into yourself, which I liked, and I liked the don't blame me bits. You know, like, if you ever did this monologue again, that little bit at the end where you say, haven't you ever seen justice? I'm taking it by Dylan's statement that you're big on the comedy stuff, because actually it was really intense until the word justice, and then it was almost comical. It just sort of slipped a little bit into that comical kind of tone. And then at the end, I thought the more, you know, the pauses between each of the phrases, it should have just been a little bit more shrinking away from everybody. Overall, I really liked it. I mean, I'm just nitpicking some stuff, but it was good. It was intense. I'm scared of you.
I think it's going to come down to a big part of it's going to be monologue choice tonight. Like, what if you choose a monologue definitely that allows you to have levels? Because all four of these people in the finale are really strong actors and actresses. So
it's not about song choice?
No, not about song choice tonight.
Song choice.
Okay. It's about monologue.
I want to make a 10 points for creativity joke, but I'm not going to. Should we move on?
Yes.
Okay. Next up is going to be Rye Guy with his dramatic monologue. Let me see if I can figure this call graph out.
Mr. Herbert, I don't feel disposed to doubt your mood, and I take it there's no question about mine. Don't let's go through a scene of high-sounding words. Mr. Herbert, we want, if possible, and to me it is possible, to talk like two men. No, let alone every vanity and every question of honor in the accepted sense, lack two human beings. I ask you for the last time, Mr. Herbert, please to abandon the manner you have assumed thus far. I don't for a moment question the correctness of it, but please understand that a human being confronts you now, Mr. Herbert, one who demands nothing but the truth, whatever it may be. You follow me, Mr. Herbert? One who, however poignant it may be, is ready to bear it! Understand me, please, Mr. Herbert. I come neither in the guise of a fool nor as an avenger to one who is either a knave or who has been unjustly so accused. Human to human. If it fell out as I suspect, Mr. Herbert, it probably was no dastardly act. If otherwise, then it wasn't very far from it. But no matter what has happened, nothing in the world could force us to face one another with pistols so that one of us might... You will hold your tongue, sir! It is not your turn to speak! Not yet. You're gonna go online, I suppose. But please listen to what I have to say. Now, I have lived through many things. I know what a mere fragrance, what the perfume of summer evenings can do to us. I know, too, how far behind us we can thrust our lot like a dream which has been told as a tale by a stranger. And I know that I am prepared to endure anything except uncertainty. I can forgive everything but lies. See how easy the truth is made for you? I trust you are beginning to understand. Or do you suspect, perhaps, that I am laying a trap for you, unawares? I have, I think, surrendered myself completely into your hands, Mr. Herbert. I've stood here like the most pitiful clown. If I had wanted to take advantage of your confession and entrap you and then to resume the affronted bridegroom, if this were so, you would be at liberty to deny me all satisfaction, spit in my face for whatever you may have done. I should have been viler than you by far. Can you hesitate still, Mr. Herbert? Never, I feel, has one man spoken to another as I have done to you. Were you Daisy's lover? You are silent? You must speak. You must speak the truth before it is too late. Yes, Mr. Herbert, before it is too late. For should I casually learn the truth later, and things of this sort are known to exist, there are such things as belated confessions by women, then I won't hesitate to strike you down.
Ryguy.
Ryguy.
Reed, do you want to go first this time? Ryguy.
Yeah. Ryguy. See, I'm Bry, he's Rye, so I feel his pain. The first thing I thought when I listened to this was cool, Southern. Gosh, I wish I liked this. I'm sorry. I'm actually going to probably be a little bit negative here. I felt this whole thing was really rushed. I don't know. Dylan, is there a time limit? Is there like a...
They it have was to have between it 3 and 5 minutes, I believe. And he was under 5 minutes. So.
Yeah.
Could have totally taken some pauses there. Just let us have a chance to feel things. It felt kind of cut and paste, and I felt like we rushed from one thought to the next.
Yeah, definitely.
And there was one point in time where I thought you were playing two different characters, where there was like a change in the tone of the voice. And I think that what it was is that like he had just sharply responded to something that the other imaginary person had done. And like, I didn't have a chance to catch up with you. And just when I caught up with kind of moving on to something else, you need dramatic pauses. You really, really need a dramatic pauses. And you know what I wrote? Actually, I wrote punctuate question mark. Like the first 15 seconds was sort of like, who's that author who wrote like a whole page with no punctuation?
It was like a run-on monologue.
Slow down. That's all I can say. Other than that, I mean, definitely kudos on the accent, but I don't know unless that's really your accent, unless you're really like General Lee from the South. But
it sounded very like a sexy Southern belle as a lawyer. Lee, what did you think?
I definitely have to
women agree. Southern belles.
Yeah.
Okay. That's the problem.
Yeah.
It. I definitely.
Oh, wait, Emmy.
But, see, that's what I was waiting for. I set you up for that.
Oh, sorry.
Reed is using a child's toy in a completely inappropriate manner tonight.
Well, I definitely agree with the pacing of it. It was definitely this is something that I was told when I was in college with when you're dealing with monologues is you kind of have to break everything down in beats and then have a moment between each of the beats when you're getting on like a different idea of something to give the listener and the audience a moment to digest what you just said and also to change what the mood of the lines are about. This just all felt kind of on the same level, and then you had these random moments where you got like really, really mad and they were there for like 5 seconds and then they were gone again. And it got into a sort of a vocal pattern after a while where you were just kind of the same thing, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, over and over and over again. And it doesn't really make it very interesting because the listener just hears that and it starts to drone and they start to just lose your, like, shiny things start distracting you and stuff like that. So, yeah. But does accent equal drama? Because this is the second dramatic one, and this is the second accent.
Well, the first accent was natural.
Yeah. First one wasn't an accent so much, yeah.
As an un-accent.
Yes.
Except that was his Australish.
Yeah, it was Australish, so we don't know.
I mean, this wasn't bad, but it just, for a finale, it didn't seem like it was on the level that something should be in a finale.
I think that the southern accent was maybe a bad choice for dramatic, personally, because I just kept thinking of Forrest Gump, and it pulled me out a little bit. And then it was
run, Rye, run.
I think he did. I think this monologue was from I can't remember what it's about. Those four women, one of which commits murder, and then there's a lawyer. Nobody, no. It was a play.
Oh. Gosh.
I started thinking about James Patterson's books.
I started thinking about Robert Pattinson. So,
ooh.
I think you were coming out of that voice because you were cutting and you were starting over. Because I heard an obvious cut at spit.
Yeah,
there were several of them.
Yeah, but I'm thinking maybe that's why he would all of a sudden sound different. I thought also you were playing a different character. I thought you were maybe the judge at one point. And it. Other than that, I agree with everything that the other two said. Ragai won last season though, so he might come back strong in the comedic. He's a comedic mofo. So. I don't know. I was kind of disappointed with this. I think it was.
Yeah.
I think the monologue itself, you could have done more with it, but I also don't think it lent itself as well to levels as Gavarox did. So.
Yeah, it really wasn't a very good choice for a monologue, I don't think, because it wasn't really so much dramatic as like. Boring.
If it was a, I don't agree with you guys. If it was a courtroom kind of scene, that was the problem. I didn't even know what it was about.
Mm-hmm.
But if it was a courtroom scene, it totally could have had a lot more levels to it. It absolutely could have. But
yeah, it comes with.
If he had slowed down and done the shifting, it could have had a lot more levels.
Yeah, pacing.
Yeah, the pacing was, I think, the biggest problem.
Should we move on?
I guess so.
You want to make the dolphin noise again?
Okay, since I did it well before we started.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I got tiger on one side and dolphin on the other. It's just... Faded Phantom's up next.
After that, I don't remember much too clearly. Let's see. I went on into the living room and I went right up to the Davenport and opened the drawer where we keep the burglar gun. I took it out. And then I brought it up to my ear. That's right. I put it right inside my ear. Why? I was gonna shoot off my own head. That's what I was gonna do. Then I heard the back door slamming. Suddenly, for some reason, I thought about Mama. How she'd hung herself. And here I was, about ready to shoot myself. And then I realized. That's right. I realized that I didn't want to kill myself. And she probably didn't want to kill herself either. She wanted to kill him. And I wanted to kill him too. I wanted to kill Zachary, not myself, because I wanted to live! so I waited for him to come on into the living room. And then I held out the gun and I pulled the trigger, aiming for his heart, but getting him in the stomach. Funny that I actually did that.
Faded Phantom.
Faded! Somebody had to do it.
Faded.
Somebody had to.
La Tigra also came out.
La Tigra?
La Tigra.
Oh, La Tigra. I thought you said La Tigra like it was like a person.
La Tigra. Not like a perk. Not like. Never mind. Amy, you can start this one.
Oh, okay. Are you sure? Because you haven't started one yet.
I started the first one.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, you did.
I started the good one.
All right, so these are old recordings, right?
If by old you mean months ago, yes.
Okay, because I think her microphone has, like, changed since then, because I did not like the microphone. It was that tinniness.
It's very
or maybe
possible.
It's just I haven't... Maybe it's just I haven't heard Faded in so long since she, like, vanished off the face of the earth until, like, last night.
Yeah.
She faded.
All of a sudden she was like, poof, hi!
I got this on 11/25, and she was in, like...
Nebraska.
Nebraska when she did this, so...
Who would ever go to Nebraska?
Exactly.
Well, okay. It gives you a good chance to understand about killing people, I guess. Stuck in Nebraska.
There's lots of... Alright. Get off my porch. Anyways.
He got a pretty mouth.
All right. Oh my god.
We're too jovial for dramatic monologue.
I know.
So we're going to have to be like all morose for the comedian.
Exactly.
That's a really good lead-in because I couldn't tell at points during this monologue if she was supposed to be happy or sad about the fact that she killed this person or was going to commit suicide, because at one point where she was like, I'm going to shoot off my head, it was the happy, yes. Like, I'm going to shoot off my head.
That's right. I noticed that too.
It was like an epiphany.
Yeah.
Joyous epiphany.
I actually heard a smile. I was like, what?
Yeah, I was a little confused because it was like really sad. Like, I don't want to kill myself, but it's going to be so much fun shooting off my head. Ah, like, it was just this really weird moment.
She's in Nebraska.
Nebraska will do that to you.
When in Nebraska. Okay. I just, overall, I felt the emotion was a little weird. Like, I believed the emotion, but I don't know if it was the correct emotion for this monologue. I don't know, like, what kind of mental choices that she was making with it, but I don't know how well they fit, because it was a little... I felt like she was trying to go where Gav did in the first one, mm-hmm. kind of, like, conflicting emotions at the same time, but it just didn't work as well as it did for him. Does that make sense?
I think that she knew she wanted to put levels in, and she tried a little too hard to put levels in where they weren't mm-hmm. necessarily needed. But she did take good pauses.
Yeah. Yeah. The pauses were fantastic.
Look, I'm not...
If you had just trimmed off some of the pauses from this and put them into Rye Guys, both of them would have been perfect.
Yeah, because some of your pauses especially
were long.
Yeah, some of your early on pauses, I actually was like, tighten up on the pauses, because then if they're a little too long, people are like, say something.
I liked it, because when it started,
the
acting was really good, so I was like really interested in what was happening, so I didn't mind the longer pauses, but the longer it went on, for me, the less stellar the acting was, so it kind of like, I kind of got pulled out a little bit.
Well, the problem is when it starts off and you have those big pauses, you're sitting there, you're interested in being captivated into what's happening, mm-hmm. and so you let yourself, but after a while you realize it's just kind of the pattern, and then it starts to become disconnected.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That's what's happening. It's becoming disconnected at the end, where you just sort of thought, okay, what's really going on here?
Yeah, that makes sense. Amby, were you done, or did you...
Oh, that was all the notes I had, yeah.
Okay, read.
I wrote the giant pauses at the beginning, which I thought was really funny. At first, I really dug the pauses, because I thought, okay, that's kind of interesting. And the next thing I wrote was not dramatic, but it's real. I mean, like, that was good with me, because it wasn't like drama. I felt like I was really sitting down with a real person, hearing a real person talk, and that made it really believable until you smiled about shooting your head off. And then I was like, what? I almost picture this as a person sitting on a couch giving confession, and then or rather talking to a psychiatrist, and then towards the end I thought maybe you were in like a psych ward. I really wasn't sure. And the problem was, is in the long run, I wasn't sure that you were sure.
Yeah.
Like at first it felt like you, it was like real feelings. And then I sort of was, I don't know, towards the end it sort of felt like she wasn't sure if she should go for psychotic or not. It just felt a little indecisive. You know, and I thought you chose for real, and then it wasn't like you were kind of in the middle there. And it, like when you talk about pulling the trigger, I wrote chose real over psychotic. It just felt like a real moment. But then after that, you sort of switched, and I wasn't really sure where you were sitting. But the funny thing was about those pauses, I wrote Blair Witch at the bottom. It sort of felt like that raw, like sort of raw documentary material. Yeah. You know?
That is a good point, yeah. Maybe she was, like, trying to go for psychotic, like, mixed with real, like, she was a real person with, like, schizophrenia type of thing, so, like, the schizo thing just kind of, like, popped in and out.
That's what I was thinking, too. It's hard to tell without a context for the monologue.
Yeah.
It reminded me of Memento Mori Faded, when she went all crazy with the gun and was hanging.
Yes! Oh, my God!
She killed me!
Yeah. That's what she was happy about.
Uh-oh, he's got a grudge.
I really liked where you started with it, the level you started with. It was really real, and I think that at times you took it to places where you didn't need to. Like, you could have not kept it at this level, but it didn't need to change up as much as it did. I did love the pauses, and like Reed said, I believed this was kind of train of thought, and you were thinking before you were relating the story. Like, when you do these monologues, like, conversational is the buzzword that Trekkachi and I used all season. I thought this was really conversational. It got a little crazy for me towards the end where the emotion got weird, but overall I liked it and I thought it was well acted, especially the beginning part. I have nothing else to say about it. Any you guys?
No, except for maybe the fact
I should have used that one last time. Dang! Missed opportunities.
Okay. I'm just waiting for my stupid does opportunity. But yeah, that's a good one too. Actually, I think the word that might have explained the ending was medicated. It's like a medicated psychotic. That might have been.
Life is like a box of Xanax. Should we move on?
Yes.
All right, Rochelle Yeller's up next.
He was kind. And he treated me like a lady. And he called me every morning to find out if I was okay. And he kept waking me up. And so I said, well, wouldn't it be easier if I was just sleeping next to you? That way you could check if I was okay without waking me up. But he said his parents were very religious. They'd die if their son was living in sin. And so he asked me to marry him. The thing is, I knew he was gay when I married him. I've always known. The first time I saw him, he was with another man. He doesn't know, obviously. He doesn't know. I just wanted a husband. And I knew Gavin needed a wife for appearances, for his family, for his work. Gavin will never have the courage to come out, so he'll look after me and the kids. This way I can stay home while my husband goes to work, and the kids can have everything they need. A perfect, happy family, you know? Two parents, two kids. Everything's perfect. Except that he's gay. But that doesn't worry me. I mean, I know he'll be safe, and I don't really care if he goes out and has boyfriends, and I'm happy this way. All the other men I've dated, they're just after sex. And when I wouldn't, if you and that bloody interfering mother smothering holier-than-thou sister of mine hadn't interfered, then everything would have been just perfect. She has to spoil everything, you know? She always has to be cleverer than me and better than me. Gavin will be the perfect father, and he's the perfect husband. He works hard, he looks after me, and he doesn't bother me to do stuff with him all the time. He even enjoys shopping. It's perfect, you know? But now you've gone and given Gavin a conscience. Why the fuck did you two have to go and ruin everything?
All right. To me, this was a good example of a monologue that didn't need to be taken to crazy places to be effective. I thought it was conversational. I thought it was good. I like that you brought Gavarok out of the closet finally.
I was going to say that.
Dropped a bomb in the finale.
Ouch.
Thank you for the ratings. I like this a lot. I thought it was really good. What did you think, Reed?
I wrote Gav's name down here, too. I was like, did she just out Gav?
Somebody had to. It's about...
Wait. We're sorry, Gav. We are still scared of you.
No, I didn't write that note. I did not. Right. Honest to God. It's just that.
So I wasn't looking at you. I wasn't
looking. Go for that.
Nobody's looking at you, Gav. Nobody's looking.
I did, when I was ranking this, I was trying to figure... No, I shouldn't say this. I'm just going to move on. I was trying to figure out if Gav was on top of Rochelle or below, but Gav's apparently with another man. So.
He's not on top of any female.
Sorry, Gav. That was low. Actually, I love the fast pace in the beginning, and I like the little giggles. I really love that. And here's something weird. I mean, I loved it all the way up until you said, why'd you have to interfere? Because all of a sudden, everything before that made no sense. Like, it felt like everything was going just fine, and you shifted gears so dramatically that I didn't know why you were talking the way you were talking before. Like, it felt as if... like the scene had been suddenly spliced in.
Yeah.
And there was no segue there.
Because you were talking to this person normally, and all of a sudden it just snapped. It should have built up to that a little bit more.
Yeah.
Right. Because, you know, in a normal person, there would still be those feelings underneath. Even if they sounded conversational, you would still feel like that. So it made me feel like the beginning section was sort of the wrong choice of how to do things. In truth, I'd say the way you did the interference part just should have been more subtle, because I loved the beginning. I loved the beginning a lot. And it almost sandwiched, because then it started to get good again. It was like that middle section about where you first got angry about interfering that was just a little too abrupt. Other than, like, for example, one of the things I loved was that line she said, except that he's gay. Like, she sort of just tossed it in really fast, which was nice and quirky. That was really good. The only thing I wrote here is, how did she have kids? But that doesn't matter. Okay.
What'd you think, Andy?
I'm not going to lie, I was a little confused, because she felt, the way that she was talking, it was very conversational, I will agree, and it felt very genuine, but this is like I said with Feta, where I thought that she made a choice that was kind of, I thought it was leading somewhere, but it went somewhere else with it.
Right.
Like, I just, it felt almost like psychotic for a while there. Like, she was like twitching, kind of. Almost, I pictured her like sitting there twitching while she was talking about all this stuff to somebody, and I was expecting her to like kill someone in the end, because it sounded more a little bit more psychotic than.
She's not in Nebraska, Amby.
She's not in Nebraska. We don't know. We don't this know. Is like this is in Nebraska.
There's no homosexuals.
This is like the country immunities. This is like everybody dies.
Yeah, pretty much.
Because it felt like it was leading somewhere, and then when it got to the end, it was someplace completely different, and I was like, oh. Okay, and then it ended kind of like abrupt for me. It was like boom, I'm like whoa, what? You never killed anybody. Kill anybody.
But Nebraska.
I like once I got to the end of it and I realized where it was going, I was thinking to myself, well, you should have been more like mad upset than like unstable upset for the beginning of it. I mean, it potentially could just be a character choice that something in the character. Like the guy needs a husband for whatever reason.
Right.
And like, if you take that away from her, like that's what makes her kind of psycho. But I liked it, but it felt a little over the place for me.
I think that a lot of you guys, you're focusing too much on what you think we want to hear in the finale, like with levels and stuff. And you're not trusting your instincts. This is not going to be helpful to you now because there's no next week to fix that. But
yeah.
In the future, trust your instincts and don't worry about who the people you're performing it for.
Because when they did this, they didn't even realize they were going to be performing for me and Reed.
Exactly.
Right, exactly.
Exactly.
Oops.
Dolph.
Should we move on to comedic?
Comedic.
Back to Gavarok.
Stop.